What's good, boys and girls, if you're listening. Today we got AFC East predictions. We're 7 weeks away from the start of the season. So we got eight divisions to go through. We'll go through like one a week, usually. Today we got the AFC East.
Let's get
Let's
it.
get it. Let's get down to it.
Right.
Also, as a disclaimer, anything said in this video, we will have a chance to re-up on at the end, right before the season. We'll do like a full playoff prediction thing. And we get one amendment to our picks. And that's how we will.
From now? One amendment? Hold up.
Well, we'll do these picks and then we'll have our playoff prediction and we'll be able to
After. Oh, yeah.
change anything we say in this video. But this is as of right now, in this moment of time, we had a pick.
Sure. All right, let's get it. Do you want to go first or do you want me to?
I want you to go first.
All right. So, to start off,
Off.
it's not a surprise. In first place in the division, we have the Bills going 13-4. They're a really strong team, obviously. I think they're one of the Super Bowl favorites from now. They're looking very good, have a very deep roster, have a lot of solid players. I don't really see a weakness to their team at all, really. They're very strong. In second place, I have the New England Patriots. This division is a hard one to do because you have so many unknowns in knowing how the Jets are going to do and how the Dolphins are doing. But I feel with having Bill Belichick as a coach, you know they're going to be at least a decent team. And it's not like their schedule is impossible this year. They obviously do have some pretty good opponents, especially in their division and outside as well. But I see them going 10-7 in this. Next up, I do have the New York Jets going 7-8. There are a lot of unknowns. They have a lot of rookies they drafted who, if they do play well, they could catapult up this ranking maybe to two. I don't see them going to one at all. But they have a lot of unknowns in their rookies. If their rookies perform well, they could catapult, but it's just you don't know with rookies. They could have a bad first year. They may take a year or two to develop, or they may just be good off the bat. You just never know.
Am I echoing at
Dolphins.
all?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, because it booted me out of the recording. Here, one second, I'll try and do it again.
Is
All
that
right, this is better.
yeah. All right, so last we have the Dolphins. Dolphins are another team that's very unknown. They have a new coach, new system, a lot of speed in their wide receiving core, in their running backs too. The problem with the Dolphins though that I see is I just do not trust their O-line very well. They got Teron Armstead. They had got Connor Williams as well, but still, it's just the rest of that O-line I see being a like very. It could have a lot of holes in that in the other parts, and as well, their defense isn't. Their front seven is not the most promising, and I have them ending in 6-11.
Oh, okay. So you have Bills, Patriots, Jets, Dolphins. Okay. I have a little bit of a different order. I think this division is very competitive. And I have, obviously, I'm not like, there's no sugarcoat. I have the Bills at the top. I'm going 14-3. I have them getting off to a very hot start, going 8-0. I have them splitting with the Patriots. And then losing like a fluke game to the Lions on a Thursday night. But I think overall, like top to bottom, I would say they're the best roster in football. That defense is stacked. Now you have a top tier edge rusher, which they've been missing for 2 years now. You get Von Miller. You have another year of development with Gregory Rousseau, who can play inside and out. And then you also have Carlos Basham for depth. This defense, this pass rush is really good now. Their linebacking core is, they kept them together. Trey White's coming back. I would not be shocked if he's comeback player of the year. And just a combination of all this stuff, I have the Bills going 14-3. And I haven't even talked about the offense yet. One of the most underrated signings in all of football was Jamison Crowder to the Bills because he's that slot guy. You know, he's been overshadowed by a poor Jets offense, but now he has a chance to break out in the slot with a roster like they have, with Josh Allen throwing him the ball. Jamison Crowder will have a huge year for the Bills. And so, you know, and they have the best quarterback in football, Josh Allen. Then we go down to second place. I have the Dolphins finishing in second. I think Tua is going to take a big jump this year, not necessarily in his ability, but his performance will take a big jump due to the new head coach hiring of Mike
McDaniel.
McDaniel, that's what I thought. Okay. I was saying McCarthy. Mike McDaniel, coming from that Shanahan offense, learned a lot, and I think they will use a similar blueprint. You know, they brought in a ton of speed. Tyreek Hill, you already have Jalen Waddle, Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds. They also brought in Sony Michel. He'll be there every down back, who I think is actually underrated. He had a really good playoff run for the Rams last year. He was like their lead horse when Cam Akers was out. And I think just overall, they're a pretty solid team. I have them going 8-9, though, missing the playoffs in a very competitive AFC. You know, first year head coach, inexperience at the quarterback position, not solidified offensive line. Defensively, they'll be good. I mean, they have a very solid defense, but you lose a guy like Brian Flores, who's their defensive coach. And now you're missing that piece, that, you know, that play calling piece. So I have the Dolphins going 8-9. In third place, also at a record of 8-9, I have the Jets. I think Zach Wilson takes a huge step up this year. And I think, you know, they're a more dynamic offense now. You know, you bring in Breece Hall, you know, the receiving core is already good. You add Garrett Wilson, who is arguably the best receiver in this class. You know, you have weapons now for Zach Wilson to succeed. You also brought in Laken Tomlinson to help block. And he's a very good guard, one of the best in the league. I think that was another underrated signing. And they got him for pretty cheap too. And then the defense, I think that defense is going to be crazy. I mean, you look at, you know, who they have. They bring in Sauce Gardner. But one of the more underrated players who I think is going to have a breakout year this year is Carl Lawson. 2 years ago, they signed him to a big deal coming from the Bengals. Got injured last year in training camp. Primed for a big season this year. There was reports all last year about him in camp that he was, you know, killing it. He was crushing camp. Now he's going to come back fully healthy, ready to go. You know, Quinnen Williams, the linebacking core, you know, that defense is very, very good. And with a coach like Robert Saleh, they're only going to be better. And now, they're one piece away. You know, everyone's comparing them to the Bengals last year. I don't think that's true. You know, there's not a team like the Bengals last year every year. Obviously, they're going to take a big jump from last year, but they're not going to be like the Bengals. But it all depends on Zach Wilson. I think he has a very, very good season, a very solid season for the Jets. And I think that propels them up into the three spot. And then coming in at fourth place, I have the Patriots going 7-10. Do I think they're the least talented roster in this division? No, not at all. I think they're the second most talented roster. There's just a ton of question marks that makes me feel uncomfortable putting them any higher. And, you know, I know you're going to get mad at me for that, you know, whatever. You know, I just call it how I see it. There's a lot of question marks. They didn't get better. They haven't named offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. And there is no way Mac Jones is going to develop and be better than he was last year without, you know, like with the Joe Judge's offensive assistant, but he's not. You know, there's no one knows who's going to be calling the plays. Like, there's just so much uncertainty going on right now with the Patriots. And it's just, they have a unique situation because no one else does what they do. But I just find it very hard for them to succeed when there's so many question marks floating around the building. You know, I think Damian Harris is going to have a really good year. But at the end of the day, when your running back, is your main source of offense, I think it's hard. Mac Jones, I think, will have a very solid year. I would predict like I predict 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, about 3,800 yards. I think that's a very solid year for him. They have weapons. They have a solid offensive line. The defense is good. Just from a, I know Bill Belichick's still the head coach. I know he's going to have him ready every week. It's just, one, they have a hard schedule. And two, there's just so many question marks that I don't feel comfortable putting them any higher. And they don't have the type of weapons that teams like the Dolphins have, teams like the Jets have, to be for me to be able to put them higher.
All right. So, which team would you like me to talk about first, out of other than
Well,
the
I
Bills?
know which one you want to talk about, so
Should we go Pats first?
yeah, go, because I know you got a problem with it. I'm ready.
I see your concerns in the coaching and who's going to run the plays and all that shit. But as much as I see that, I just see that no matter which type of offense you want, like looking at the roster right now, it's very difficult to say, oh, are they going to be West Coast? Are they going to be run heavy? Are they going to be a zone offense? Are they going to be play? It's hard to tell, obviously, but with they have so much depth at the receiver position, depth at the running back position, and tight end position where they could really go any way and have a pretty strong offense. Like what you said about Damian Harris, I kind of disagree. I think he may get traded, to be honest.
Really? You
Because
think he gets traded?
it's his contract year. Ramondre Stevenson
That is true.
could potentially be better than him. The running back room is pretty stacked up right now
Pierre Strong Jr.,
yep.
also a very good draft pick.
Kevin Harris as well, James White coming back. What does Damian Harris provide that's not already there? Like, I love him.
That's
Like,
true. I mean, but
I've
they have
spoke
three
well
power
about him.
backs. They have three power backs. I think Damian Harris is the best one out of those three. But you're right, you can find that production from someone else.
And yeah, I just see like we liked Blunt when he was, and I see Ramondre being that same way, but he's much faster than Blunt ever was. And he's a bigger guy. Damian Harris is a pretty small power back. I do really like him a lot, like you know that, but I just don't see him staying. And in the receiver room, all these guys can do different things where you could go so many different ways with it. Like jump ball receivers in Devontae and Lil Jordan Humphrey. You got deep threats in Aguilar and Tut and Thornton. And if you want a guy over the middle who runs that just quick catch roll and just not really rack, but just get that catch, get that first down. You got Jacoby and Kendrick Bourne. And then you got Hunter Henry as well. There's just so many different ways you can do it. Once I see where they go with the offense, I feel like you can say how well they're going to do, but without really knowing, as you said, there's question marks, but still see them doing much better than the other teams in the division.
Okay, and I'm going to focus on that last point right there. You talked about the offense. Bill Belichick is not an offensive play caller, first off.
I understand that.
Second off, Joe Judge is most likely going to be calling plays for them, even though he's an offensive assistant. What?
Why do you think that?
Well, they don't have an offensive coordinator. He's just the offensive assistant. So, I mean, that's just my guess. But if they're not going to name offensive coordinator, I don't know who would be calling plays because it's not going to be Bill. But if it is Joe Judge, you hand over the keys to the offense to a guy who didn't. He didn't. He was on the Giants last year, and their offense was stagnant. They had the least amount of touchdowns in the entire league. And I'm not saying the Giants are similar to the Patriots. Like, I'm not saying that at all. Obviously, Mac Jones is a lot better than Daniel Jones, and they have weapons that the Giants didn't necessarily have due to injuries. But I'm just saying, there's just, I just don't see Mac Jones, I don't see Mac Jones taking a huge step up without support around him. I know you just listed a bunch of weapons, and I know, they have the pieces, but you list all those weapons, and then you look to a team like the Jets, who have Corey Davis, that big slot guy over the middle, Garrett Wilson, who's one of the most electric players in this past draft class, Elijah Moore, who is probably one of the speediest, best route runners from the slot, and he can play outside in the league. He's underrated, you know what I mean? Like, he is, like, if he gets a, like, chance to shine, he's going to shine. And you look at a team like the Dolphins, Jalen Waddle, he's already a top 20 receiver. He's going to hurdle into that top 15 this next year. And they have Tyreek Hill, along with weapons like Gesicki. And you know, so they have – just other teams have the pieces, you know, in play. They have the opportunity to capitalize on that. I'm not saying, you know, like, the Dolphins are going to make the playoffs, the Jets are going to make the playoffs. I just think in a stacked AFC – you know, I think those teams are very similar, the Dolphins, Jets, and Patriots. I think those teams are very similar. And what it comes down to is the Patriots have a harder schedule. But I just don't see, you know, there's going to be a lot of low-scoring games for the Patriots because of their defense, because they're going to play to their strength. But in a league where you need a solid offense, you need a team that can move the ball down the field, that can control the game, you know, when you are missing a play caller, it's very, very difficult. Dynamic quarterback who's going to create for the offense. You know, last year, I mean, they had Josh McDaniels who, you know, I'm not going to say that, like, oh, he was so great, you know, because – but he called the plays. You know, he called the plays, and he was very successful with Brady. You know, he kept that team afloat with Cam Newton. And now you have Mac Jones, and, you know, he called plays in Mac Jones' strength. Now you have a new offensive coordinator coming in. Well, you don't even have an offensive coordinator. You have a new offensive play caller coming in who we don't even know who it's going to be. And this is where that uncertainty comes in. You know, maybe 6 weeks from now, I change my pick and say the Patriots are going 11-6 and making the playoffs. Do I doubt that? Highly, of course. But I'm just saying – right now, there's too many question marks to anoint the Patriots as a team that's better than 500. I just see too much wrong. And it's not even from a roster standpoint. It's just looking at the coaching staff. I mean, I know they have great coaches, but looking at play calling, I don't see how they're going to be able to compete with teams on their schedule, like the Bills. You know, if Zach Wilson a huge step up like the Jets, you know, the Ravens, the Dolphins, you know, teams in their own division and then teams outside the division that they have to play because their, you know, schedule is harder. I just see it being challenging for them to be able to keep up with those teams if their defense can't hold it to an under 20-point game.
All right. I would just to see, you know, what – what? Who cares? I looked up who calls the offense for the Patriots just to see what the rumors are in line. So obviously Joe Judge is there, but another person who is surprisingly in the running is Matt Patricia. And I'm going to be honest, I've never heard of this man, but as well as the tight end coach. No. I've heard it.
He's a defensive coach, though.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying the rumor. And tight ends coach Nick Cayley have all been rumored in contention. So I see what you're saying in a lot of things, but I just see the holes in the Dolphins and the Jets being greater. No, I mean, the Jets don't – their biggest hole is the linebacking core. Like, you have C.J. Mosley, but after that, huge drop-off. Huge. I love both Hamson Nasir al-Din. I do. I've liked him as a player out of FSU. I really liked his versatility, but he's not very good. Quincy and Williams. Sherwood isn't even starting right now, according to the depth chart. He's a backup middle linebacker still. But Quincy Williams, not very good either. And the D-line is very solid. You have so much depth there. From the starters of Carl Lawson, Sheldon Rankins, Williams, John Franklin Myers, Jermaine Johnson, Jabari Zungi, you have Solomon Thomas, who they signed, Vinnie Curry. But again, that linebacking core is huge drop off. And the secondary does look good, but the thing you just got to remember, being so young, you have no surefire to say, oh, they're going to be good. Oh, they're going to be bad. Like, there's so many, I'm not saying they're bust, but it does take a few years to develop. And especially like looking at Sauce Gardner, I'm not trying to make a comparison saying they're the same player or anything, but the Lions tried to do the same thing in getting a good lockdown corner a couple years ago. And look what happened to them with, how am I blanking on his name? The Ohio Jeffrey State Okuda.
Okuda. He's been injured. He had an Achilles tear.
That was last year. His first year, he got destroyed. And looking at the Dolphins as well, to talk about the holes in their team, I'm not saying Patriots don't have holes. They obviously do. That secondary is going to be atrocious. But looking, I can't say that I feel comfortable about the Dolphins winning with their front seven. Obviously, their secondary is very good with Howard, Holland, Byron Jones, Eric Rowe. But who in that front seven are you telling me is that good? Like, really? Look up their front seven and tell me anyone you know who's solid. Maybe you would say Melvin Ingram's all right. Emmanuel Ogba, he's decent, but I don't see it.
Melvin Ingram did have a wonderful season for the Chiefs last year. Like, he was very, very good.
Starting on their depth chart right now.
Well, that's according to this, but
ESPN, but
in real life, there he's going to start. Emmanuel Ogba is also very good. Jalen Phillips was a 15th overall draft pick last year. Van Ginkle's underrated. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, Raekwon Davis and Zach Seiler are him, and they're going to stop everything. I'm not saying that at all.
No, yeah, I understand, but that's what I'm saying. Like, going – obviously, we're saying it from – preseason even hasn't been played, but doing it, there's so many different question marks that we can't really tell to or predict how they're going to do. We just got to watch and wait. But I don't know, this, it kind of scares me. Like, obviously they could be the Chiefs-esque offense where they just keep scoring and scoring and their defense does stink, but they just keep outscoring the other team and that's how they win.
Well, I'm not saying they're going to outscore people. Like, with Tua, you're not going to, like, get into a track race with people. I mean, I know you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, but defensively, like, you're not going to get thrown all over. You have Howard, Jones, Javon Holland, who I think is a top 10 safety. I mean, he's already so good. He lines up everywhere, and he succeeds everywhere.
But another question mark I have is Tua. I do like Tua. I don't like Tua.
Why was I saying that?
I like the offense they've built around Tua, where it's a lot of speed, a lot of guys to get the ball away from him, like Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert. They have a stacked running back room, I'm going to be honest. From Gaskin being literally their fourth guy. They're very deep. And speed-wise, they have a lot of fast receivers. But it's just, can Tua get the ball to them accurately? We've heard all this stuff from Tyreek Hill. Oh, I see no difference between Patrick Mahomes and Tua Tagovailoa. Like, oh my. He's gassing so much. We've seen Tua. We've seen him play. Have you seen the throwing chart of where Tua likes to throw the most?
No, I haven't looked at it.
All to the left side. All to the left. Tua is very heavy to throwing to the left. And having that in offense, defenses know that. That's why they go heavier to the left side when playing. It's not like all righty quarterbacks just throw to the right. They throw to the left as well. Tua, I haven't seen him play where I'm still solidified that he's a starter. Why do you think they signed Teddy Bridgewater?
He's the biggest question mark
on that team for how they're going to perform. If he does well,
they can make it pretty
far. I can see it where they maybe get in the playoffs if Tua does well. But I just
– from what we saw the last two seasons from him starting, I don't see it at all where he is going to be that guy. Maybe he is.
No, I'm completely wrong. Come back to the podcast. You can hear me say all this and be like, you are a moron. Tua just did this. He made the Pro Bowl or whatever. But I don't know.
Now, obviously, I know where you're coming from. I'm not blind. You know, I watch the games too. And I'm not going to disagree with you and say Tua's this, you know, great quarterback. But you look at Mike McDaniels and where he came from with the team, the Niners. That team was built to support Jimmy Garoppolo. It wasn't built around Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think it's a very similar case scenario with Tua, you know. And you go from having a defensive head coach, defensive-minded head coach, now to an offensive-minded head coach who just made Deebo Samuel primed for over $20 million extension, who, you know, helped a seventh-round pick become almost a 1,000-yard rusher. You know, like, you – just the scheme and the moves they made. I mean, you bring in Teron Armstead, you know – Robert Hunt is also very underrated. You know, that offensive line is not that bad. And, you know, there's similarities all throughout that roster. You know, Trent Williams to Teron Armstead. You know, Tua and Garoppolo are more similar than they are, you know, dislike. You know what I'm saying? Like, they rely on accuracy. They rely on their brain. And, yeah, we haven't seen Tua grow into what he can be yet. But they have a lot of similar pieces. Gesicki and Kittle. Great pass catchers, great rack tight ends. You got Tyreek Hill, who is more physically gifted than Deebo Samuel is. Now, I'm not saying they're going to use him the same way, but that sort of creativity that they're going to bring to that offense, I think, is going to make them a very dynamic offense. And, you know, I'm not going to say that will lead to their success, because I still have them below 500, but I don't see them failing. I don't see them failing and totally, like, just, you know, I don't see them go only having 6 wins. You know, and when you're playing teams like the Texans all year, like the Jaguars all year, you know what I'm saying? Like, you finish third in your division, you're going to play other third division places, teams, you know what I mean? So, the Dolphins have an easier schedule than the Patriots do. And so I have them winning one more game. And I think just the way that offense is built, they're going to put up points. That's a given regardless who their quarterback is. You mentioned Teddy Bridgewater. You know, he's safe quarterback you can put in if times are getting rough. And I just think with the – how dynamic they can be with their play caller – I think will lead them to second place in this division. But I think, you know, 2 through 4 are all jumbled together. And, you know, it could turn out the Patriots finish 9-8, the Jets finish 8-9, the Dolphins finish 7-10, you know, but they're all right there. But I just see these three teams being jumbled up. And obviously one game, you know, I'm not going to nail the head on every pick, but one game apart, you know, I have like a 2-game range of where they're going to finish. It could completely change the order, but it's going to be that similarity with my picks, I believe.
Would I be able to tell you something or read you the next-gen stats from Tua Tagovailoa's passing chart from 2021?
Yeah.
Just so
behind the line of scrimmage, Tua is way above the league average in throwing.
His
98.7 to the left, in the middle, 105.6, 96. That's great, right? You look to the left side of the field, left of the hash, he's above league average from the line of scrimmage to 10 yards.
He's above the league average
in 10 to 20 on that left side. And from 20 to beyond, he's
a little above the league average. But as we go
to the middle and right side of the field,
he only has one zone that
is green.
All the rest are red or yellow,
as in not much better.
He's very predictable to where he goes.
That left side of the field between the line of scrimmage and the 20 is his sweet spot. He loves to throw there. And obviously, quarterbacks all have tendencies. You can tell, and you can push them all out of their comfort zone.
But when it's that heavy, maybe this was just
a fluke year, or maybe it was Brian Flores' offense that it just played heavy to his arm.
But I see this as a big
problem where if he's only throwing strongly to the left side of the field,
they can shift over.
Defenses can play to that and make him throw right, make mistakes. Do you want to know what his average is in the middle of the field past 20 yards? I mean, yeah, beyond 20 yards?
What?
4.9.
The league average is 84.
In the middle of the field, from 10 to
20 yards, league average is 86.8. His?
56.1. 10 to 20 yards in the right quadrant.
League average, 78. His, 19.
Like, what's your opinion on this?
So, obviously, you have a valid point. You know, he has tendencies. He has weaknesses. But you mentioned behind the line of scrimmage and under 10 yards. That's what they built this offense to do. I mean, you bring in guys like Raheem Mostert, Edmund. You bring Tyreek Hill. Game with this offense is going to be get the ball into playmakers' hands and let them work. All Tua is a facilitator. He doesn't need to be Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't need to be Josh Allen to go out and have a 4,000-yard season. You know, his air yards are going to be under, like, 2,000. You know what I mean? Like, his air yards are not going to be that high. It's going to be the rack that's going to make this team dynamic. And you mentioned screens. You mentioned, you know, drags. That's what they brought in the speed to do. It's going to be a quick, fast-paced offense. You know, get snap, ball out of the hands within 3 seconds. And they're going to move the ball slowly but surely, but they're going to be consistent. And that's what I like about this team. You know, like I said a million times, I'm not predicting them to make the playoffs. But with that being said, they're going to be able to compete with these high-powered offenses because they're going to be able to consistently move the ball because of their speed. All he is a facilitator. All Tua is going to do is facilitate. You know, he's like the Rondo of quarterbacks. You know, you're not going to get those 50-yard passes with a safety over the top corner below right into a breadbasket. You're just going to get a guy who's going to give you, you know, a double-double in basketball terms. You know, maybe 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. That's the type of stat line you can expect from Tua. And I think if he does that, then it will be – they will have a good offense. And this is a make or break year for Tua. You know, he's entering year 3. The two guys drafted around him, Joe Burrow, made a Super Bowl. Justin Herbert's a top 5 quarterback. And there's Tua. He has a lot to prove this year. And if he cannot come in and produce and run this offense and make them successful, he will get replaced. And that is going to be the big factor. I'm not predicting him to make the Pro Bowl. I'm predicting him to step up and run the offense.
Could Rondo only pass to the right side of the court?
I think a lot of that was by design, though. I think he'll be more, I'm not going to say dynamic, but less predictable.
I remember seeing a couple ducks to the right side of the field, if I'm being honest. But, you know, we'll see.
We will.
Tyreek has been gassing him up, so
imagine Tyreek says all that and he goes like 10 TDs in 23
minutes. And then by week 2, Tyreek is like, you just see him visibly like upset on the field, like yelling at Tua because he's missing Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, we'll see. Obviously, what'd you say?
I think Tyreek
will still do well, even if Tua sucks. Like, you remember his comment about Matt Moore? He's like, I had 100 yards of Matt Moore as my quarterback. I love Matt, but it's Matt Moore.
Yeah.
So I think he'll do fine. It's just the offense is going to be like is going to it's just going to be very like not together because Tua needs to be the glue to this offense because you always need to have your quarterback be the leader.
Always. Because he's the one who calls the
play. He's the one who is calling that huddle, you know, making all the reads. He has to be that guy.
You got to see Tua do that. I don't think he's even been the leader. He hasn't.
Okay, so when Mac Jones went to freezing cold Buffalo and threw three passes and they won the game, was he the leader of that game?
He was. You don't have to be the best player on the field
to be the leader.
You just proved my point. I was trying to get you to say yes because, yeah, Tua doesn't need to go out and have a huge game.
He's not a leader. That's what I'm saying. Obviously,
he was at Alabama.
Because they didn't set him up to be.
And that's exactly what Mike McDaniel's going to do. Mike McDaniel set up Garoppolo to get them to the conference championship.
How heavy do you think it was Shanahan who
set it up, though?
And how okay, but McDaniel was under Shanahan for 3 years, something like that. Like, he obviously is going to adopt some of those same philosophies, and you already see him implementing that into this team.
Looking to the Patriots, I'm just saying this
out of my knowledge for it, but Bill Belichick's been a great coach, right? Everyone thinks about his coaching kit. His like coaching tree where he gets all these coaches, but his offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators, when they go out on their own, they blow.
Like you can't always
think about it that way. Like
Josh McDaniels
first stint with the Broncos with Tim Tebow.
Not very good. Bill O'Brien with the Texans. He destroyed a playoff team. Matt Patricia.
Like, obviously, you have the good coaches who come out of Shanahan. You have LaFleur, is that the only one? The
disciple? Well, LaFleur and Shanahan were assistants.
McVay, yeah, they were coaching together. My bad.
But, has like, there been, Sala was the only other one to get a job.
I feel like Sala wasn't because of Shanahan, you know what I mean? Because
Shanahan isn't
a defensive coach. No, he wasn't because of him. Like, that defense ran on Sala.
I feel like we just got to see how the
first disciple will do, and then we can make that.
There's a lot of shots
now with our ideas because we have we don't really have that much to back it up because everything is, you know,
still up in the air of how people are going to
do. Maybe out of nowhere, Tua wins MVP.
Yeah, I mean, if I came on this podcast last year and said the Bengals are making the Super Bowl. We would have lost all the listeners. They would have thought it was stupid. So, obviously, you never know. Maybe the Lions make the playoffs. You know, you don't know how it's going to go. Obviously, there are certain tendencies that you can track. There are certain predictions you can make. But you don't know how everyone's going to develop. You don't know who's going to fall off. You don't know how these first-year coaches are going to do. You don't know who's going to get injured. I mean, knock on wood that no one gets injured, but you know what I mean? Like, there are so many question marks, especially in July. You know, but this is just the best. You know, I know this is the best, like, either of us can do at this point in the season. You know, we're giving our best prediction. And obviously, we'll see how it goes. And then we can come back and compare and say, George, you were wrong, or I was wrong. You know? And as we get closer to the season, we'll have this solidified, and I could come back on this podcast and say, you know, the week before the season starts and say, the Bills are going to go 12-5 and the Dolphins are going to go 11-6 and be a wild card. And then the Patriots are going to go 10-7, slip into the 7th seed. You know, you never know what's going to happen from now and then. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it all unfolds, but this is my list as of right now.
We'll figure it out, yeah?
Yeah. All right.
Any final regards you have or final thoughts?
So just as like a future of the podcast, we're going to be transitioning into Football and basketball. We'll be adding someone to our crew. We'll be rebranding and stuff like that. So it will no longer be called First Down Football. It'll probably be under a different name, but it'll be the same kind of concept. It'll be very easy to determine whether you're listening to a football or basketball podcast. And George and I will still be leading this football one. And then as you know, the direction we're going to go in before the season starts, we'll do every division. Next week we'll do the NFC East. And then we'll also do an additional episode per week on whatever's happening.
You covered it pretty well.
Right now, a lot of it's like, we obviously don't know exactly what we're going to do as in the direction of like what our rebranding is or what everything else is. All we do know is we're going to keep making football content because that's what we want to do. And that's what we're going to keep putting out.
Yes, sir. And additionally, in a couple weeks, George will be going off to college. And at the end of August, I'll be going off to college. We're going to continue to try and push out content. It'll be a little less consistent, maybe. We're going to do our best. And if I told you during COVID, George, that we'd be doing an episode before you go to college, you probably would have called me crazy. But
yeah. I'm going off to Alabama to play football for Coach Saban. I'm going to be starting at D-Lineman, so make sure to look for me there. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening, and peace.
Peace.